Blog Talk Radio.
Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson,
Hopefully everybody's having a beautiful Friday evening and a beautiful weekend to follow. Good evening, Rhea. Are you there?
Yes, I am. Good evening. How are you this evening?
I'm fantastic. Fantastic.
Great.
Yes, we have a very special guest this evening, a local actor, Antoine T-Money. He's a screen and television and stage actor. You may have seen him in the television series The Wire. He's also appeared in countless films, some television shows, and some stage plays. He makes his big screen movie debut July the 24th and a suspense thriller titled The Right to Remain Silent. He's not done yet. Antoine's latest endeavor is working on his next movie with veteran actor Charles Dutton. Tonight we will find out just how Antoine went from an ordinary guy to one hot actor. Are you ready for that, Rhea? This
yeah.
guy is local. And I've had the opportunity to see him in a couple of plays here. And I'm going to the premiere of his movie July the 24th. So I am really thrilled, very excited. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on Mr. Antoine T. Money. Antoine?
Can you hear me?
Hello, Antoine. Yes, are you there?
Can you hear me?
Yes. How are you?
Yeah, good evening, everybody. How y'all doing?
I'm fine, you.
Good.
Yeah, so can you just take us back to your childhood, you know, where you grew up, you have any siblings, and then we'll get on with how you got the acting bug.
Yeah, well, I grew up in Washington, D.C., Northeast D.C. I don't have any siblings. I'm my only child. I grew up in the 8th and H area. To all the schools in that area, graduated from H.D. Woodson, though. As a child, I played all sports and stuff like that. As a child, my family always said that I needed to be in front of a camera because I was so active and unique. You know, my mom always said, you know, you was a special child. So, never thought I'd be into acting, though.
So when did you first start acting? When was your first play, or, you know, how did you just get into it?
Well, I got into it through a friend, Lamont Curry. He called me and told me there was a guy down at GW University was looking for actors to be in a stage play called The 70 Bus. Mm-hmm. And he remembered me telling him that I always wanted to be on stage or even in front of a camera. And at that time, he was just starting to come on board with productions himself. So he said, well, you know, he called me one day and said, this might be your big break if you want to get on that stage or get in front of a camera. I got a friend down at the university that's looking for actors for a play. If you want to go audition, you can go do that. And that was in 2005. And I went down there, and I was a little nervous, but I auditioned and wound up getting three parts in the play.
Wow.
Yeah, three parts in the play. I had to play three different characters. And
Go on, I'm sorry.
I'm listening.
Was that hard to play three characters?
Well, you know, since being in the acting, I've learned that to be a good actor is not to act. You know what I'm saying? You just pretty much be yourself. Most characters that you see these actors portraying is normal people that may have been in your life. So with the 70 Bus, I played three characters. One was a guy that sold DVDs on the street. Okay, so you've seen that brother out there. And another guy was an old man with a lot of wisdom that sits at the bus stops that may have been a Vietnam vet and, you know, and liked to talk and So I've seen that growing up, and then another one was a drug dealer. So I was able to portray all those characters because I have seen those individuals in my lifetime. So it was just, just remembering, okay, they say, well, we need you to be a guy with wisdom, old man, kind of homeless, you know, but he has a Vietnam background, military background. Okay, I start thinking, okay, I remember Mr. Williams when I was young, how he used to act. And then you just, you know, you just bring it to life. So that's how that works.
Oh, okay. I see that you've been in 22 films. Abusive husband, drug dealer, homeless man. And so you said you portrayed all those from seeing people that were in those positions. Because I know that sometimes watching television, how they have, like if it's a person who has a drug scene to do, they'll be with a drug dealer, they'll spend a day with a drug dealer, or somebody who has a part that they've never done before. They get that experience by hanging around with that people for the day so they can incorporate with, you know, incorporate in their act. So you've never done it that way. You've always taken it from what you've seen or what you may have experienced.
Yes, yes. But you know something, Delicious, it's like, it's just like the character. I had a character one time where I had to play an old man. Had to be 65 years old. And sometimes, okay, you think about a older person at that age, but at the same time, you can also incorporate your own mind or your own intake on how this person should be. So you sort of like mix it a little bit of your own and a little bit of what you have seen in your lifetime. I have never spent any time with any character that I was trying to portray. Never had the time. But you do have to research. You have to research. Sometimes you have to just, when you're looking at movies or stuff like that, and just try to get an idea and a feel for the character, and then you come up with your own thing. That's
okay, now, also, you played an abusive husband. How did you feel about being abusive to somebody? Did you set that in your mind, or you just acted it out?
Well, I've seen abuse in my lifetime. For one, my father, he was an abusive guy when I was coming up. So I remember some of those things very well. And not only that, I know what abuse is. So, and then when you read the scripts are pretty much tell you how you should be, but they can't tell you how to be, because you have, it's your job as an actor. See, the directors and producers, they don't act. They just put out the money and they do the writing. But what they hire an actor for is to do that job and making that character come to life as best as possible. You know, so that's what my job is, to try to, you know, bring it to life. But being an abusive husband, that's something I've seen before.
Okay. Now, I know in the movie that it's going to premiere the 24th of this month, I'm not going to really give that much away about it, but you are playing a character in there as a serial rapist. How did that come about? Did you know someone who got raped, or, you know, how did you portray that character? How did you bring that character to life?
Well, by this being the last movie that I have worked on, you know, the latest movie, and have had the experience, I can say out of those 22 films, for myself, I think this was the best acting that I have ever done, because this movie, this particular character that I'm playing, is he has to go with so many emotions. He has to act, he really has to bring his acting skills out, because he can be nice, he can be mean, He can be intimidating, manipulative, you know. And you have to mm-hmm. you have to make sure that don't mix up with your everyday life. So you got
right.
when you get off that set, you got to leave it there on the set. You can't take it home with you. And sometimes you're sitting there trying to remember all your lines and everything, and it be kind of stuck with you. You know what I'm saying? But this was probably the hardest one I had to do. You know, it's the hardest one I had to do. Because when I read the script, the director told me, he said, man, I just really think you have to look for this role, but you really going to have to bring it. And I said, what you mean I really have to bring it? He said, man, like you have never done it before. He said, I'm not going to tell you how to do it, but I'm going to send you the script. And I want you to read it and then get back with me. And I'm going to tell you mm-hmm. something. I got that script 7 o'clock at night. And normally I'm in the bed around this time.
Mm-hmm.
This script, I could not put the script down. It had me nervous. I actually was feeling it. I didn't get finished reading that script until probably almost 1, 2 o'clock in the morning. I could not
wow.
believe it. And I'm telling you, when you see this movie, it's going to
send
chills.
Well, from the previews.
Oh, yeah.
From the previews, I'm on the edge of my seat, and I really can't wait, you know. I'm quite sure that it's going to be a very good movie, you know, just from the previews. And, you know, and plus seeing you, I've seen you act before on the stage and, you know, in clips of Laws of the Street. I didn't get to see you in The Wire, but I am going to watch that again and see if I can catch you in it.
Yeah, I had a very small role in there. That was like my first film that I ever had to do. I played a drug dealer, which was in the 5th season, episode 1 and 2. And
mm-hmm.
I was a little nervous because it was my first film. I had already was doing the first play. And I learned, mm-hmm. I landed that role by being in the play, The 70 mm-hmm. Bus. And what happened with that was is that the producers of The Wire knew the producer of the stage play, and he called down there to GW, and he said, I'm looking for some drug dealers, some big guys that can look mean and stuff like that. Do you have anybody down there? And he thought of me, and he asked me, you know, you heard of The Wire? I'm like, yeah. He said, he'd like to be a part of that show? I said, yes. They were looking for some big guys to be drug dealers. You need to go up there tomorrow, and told me who I need to see. So that's how I landed that role.
Wow.
From there.
So, go on, I'm sorry.
And what I was going to say from there, that's what just really made me want to do more. You know, so that's how that happened.
So you got bit. Wow. And I'm looking at the over the films that you did. I'm going to ask you, can you tell us a little bit about some films that I threw out at you? You played the lead in What Are Friends For? What was that about?
What Are Friends For? That was actually filmed here in D.C. and Prince George's County,
mm-hmm.
Director Bruce Odoms. I played a lead in there. This is about, it actually was a stage play first, and
mm-hmm.
then it turned into a movie, but they're both the same, you know, it's the same story. But anyway, it's about a guy, he's an organizer. He likes to throw parties, big parties. And he's trying to throw all these parties, but he be failing at it. He fails and he fails, and his girlfriend getting tired of him failing because he's spending up all the money. And then he turns to his friends, and friends won't help him. Help me out. I'm gonna do good this time on this party. It's gonna work. They're like, nah, man, we ain't messing with you, man. You always failing at it. I ain't giving you no money. So finally, he lands something big, and the
mm-hmm.
friends wanna come around now. His girlfriend had already left him for some other guy. He came home and caught him in the closet or something. So he's just on down in the dumps. and finally he made it to the top, and then the friends try to come on board and kept it moving.
Okay. Okay, and Laws of the Street.
Laws of the Street, directed, produced, wrote by Lamont Carey.
Mm-hmm.
Childhood friend of mine. Actually, he's younger than me. I watch him grow up a little bit. Very smart guy, very talented guy. He wrote this, Laws of the Street, of the way he seen things as he was growing up. So, you know, I wind up getting a lead role in Laws of the Street. Should be released soon. Shouldn't be too much longer on that. But it's basically filmed, and it's all about Washington, D.C. Drug dealing, prostitution,
murder,
child neglect, abortions, murder. Everything that goes on in Washington, D.C. is in Laws of the Street.
Okay. Also, you played a lawyer in Cashing Out.
Cashing Out. Cashing a Lightsmith production. That film was filmed in Berkeley Springs, West Virginia. It's about four young guys. Their grandfather was dying and gave them some money to give to people who was in need. And without no explanations or nothing, just walk around and listen and put your eyes on folks that you think is doing bad, and then leave a little money in the envelope for them, maybe slide it on their windshield or leave it in their mailbox. They never know where it came from. And the transactions from the ATM machine kind of like alarmed the FBI and made it seem like they were doing something illegal. So they wound up getting locked up, and I had to pretty much be the defense lawyer, and I won.
Okay.
Yeah, that was a different experience.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, what about Hard to Find, where you played a homeless man, Dancing Joe?
No, Hard to Find, make that correction. Hard to Find is where I played a 65-year-old man.
Oh, okay.
And Dancing Joe, I believe, is Night Stars.
Night Stairs. Night Stars,
yeah.
I'm sorry,
yeah.
Night Stars,
which
when you played
you
a homeless man.
Okay.
The homeless man.
Night Stars. Filmed in what was that part of Virginia? It was filmed in Thornburg, Virginia. Thornburg, Virginia. This movie was about a young lady who was trying to become an actress. And she would always, I was by me being Dancing Joe, a homeless man, I danced in front of the gas station. She would always come there, and she'd dance with me, and she always tell Joe that she's going to make it big, and, you know, she's going to come back and get me. She always looked out for old Joe. And Joe's mind wasn't right. You know, he had a little dementia going on and shell shock from the war. And, you know, it was a pretty good film, drama film. So that was a different experience, too.
Did the young lady ever come back for Dancing Joe? Did she ever make it big?
She ain't never make it big. She left Dancing Joe dancing.
Rhea, do you have any questions?
No, I'm enjoying the feel of it and the way it's going thus far. Go ahead and finish talking about the other role.
Okay. Okay.
The diverseness of the different roles. It's like you go, even though a lot of it is centered around certain things, they just go from one end of the, you know, pendulum to the other. I like that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. What about Hard to Find, 65-year-old man?
Wow. Well, let me tell you how that went. Hard to Find. Okay. That was filmed in Prince George's County.
Mm-hmm.
Young lady with Creative Productions, Alicia Robinson. she was in the area and she needed a guy to be an older guy. They couldn't find one. So they looked me up on the actors page for actors in this area. And she looked at my resume and she saw a lot of things that I've done. So she said, I'm just going to get this guy a call. So when she called, she told me, she's saying, you know, I looked at your resume and I have this role, but I don't know if you can do it because I know you're not 65 years old. I said, so you need me to play a 65-year-old man? She said, yeah. I said, can your makeup artist make me 65? She said, oh, yeah. I said, I can be 65. and they just had a kick out of me being 65 because I had to change the walk. I had to change the talk. And I was sort of like a southern 65-year-old man. I did it on my own. Well, you know, I got a lot of wisdom going on here, and I need you folks to listen to me. That's the 65-year-old man. So, but he was rich. He was taking care of his grandson, which was his son. His son's son. His son had died in a car accident. So his grandfather had to take care of him. He became a sports writer. And we wound up having a lot of money in the family. So it was a comedy. He started staying in the house too much. And I told him he needed to get out and start dating folks. And stop staying in the house. Well, he started dating four women that were all friends. And they never knew it.
Wow.
They never knew it. But the catch to it, he never slept with none of them. But he went out with all of them.
Mm-hmm.
And once a month, the girls get together and they all go out. And they just kept talking about this one guy that they have met. But all four of the girls call him something different. And his grandson's name was Theodore. So one called him T, one called him Teddy, one called him Dora, and one called him Theo. So they finally was talking about this man. He does this, he does that, he does this. Finally, they went to a club, and he was there. And all of them was like, well, Deco, my baby right there. And he was like, who? And they looked around, and there it was.
Wow,
that was a fun movie too.
Okay, what about Fish's Blues? You played a jazz
musician. Oh wow! Can you imagine?
Did you have to play an instrument, or can you play an instrument?
I can play an instrument. I had to actually play a keyboard. I was a jazz musician. I had a little band, so I had to sit up there, and I wanted to do it because it was something different. And it just shows that diverse, you know what I'm saying? So I just playing that organ and acting like I was a jazz musician.
I mean, you could actually play the organ or what?
Yeah, I could play it. Yeah, I could play it.
Oh, okay. Wow. That is something. Okay, you also was a bartender.
A bartender.
Premises of
duality.
Yeah,
Premise of Duality, Mac, that's my name. I played a bartender. Guy came in, and he normally comes in after work and have a drink. But there was a young lady there also, and she wanted to meet him. Well, he's married. His wife was out of town. So this young lady came on to him real strong. They sat down and had a drink, and they wound up drinking so much till they wound up in the men's bathroom getting it on.
Wow.
Okay, well, this little 2-3 minutes of pleasure wound up being a nightmare for this guy because I actually told him, I said, well, look, you know your wife is out of town. You don't need to be seeing this lady right here. And she wound up giving him HIV.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. She wound up giving him HIV. Yeah.
Whew, that's something.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then you was a barbershop owner.
Barbershop owner.
All means Al means love.
AI means love.
Yeah, AI means love.
Oh wow! Filmed in Clarksburg, West Virginia. I played a barbershop owner, which was I was the only black guy in this West Virginia town, and of course, being black in West Virginia wasn't real popular. So, in this small town, I had owned a business, and they vandalized my business, trying to run me out of town, and I refused to leave. So, you can just about imagine how that story was.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, it was just a different experience, so I had fun with that, too.
Okay, Guns and Grams. I see you were a drug dealer in
there. Guns and Grams, Baltimore, Maryland. Wow. It's just exactly what it says. Guns and grams of cocaine.
Mm-hmm.
Everything that goes on in Baltimore, just like the wire with Baltimore. Well, I played a drug dealer, a notorious drug dealer at that. Zero tolerance about my money, zero tolerance about my drugs. No, don't beat me out of my money or you're going to die. Don't come on my drug strip trying to sell your drugs not unless it's mine. Oh, yeah. That's pretty much
wow.
It.
Wow. Now we're getting to the right to remain silent. Jeffrey Smoke.
Jeffrey Smoke. Wow. Premieres on July 24th. The Fairfax Cinema Arts Theater. Well, Jeffrey Smoke is a serial rapist, abusive husband. But his wife don't know these things about him. The only thing she knows about him is that he's abusive. They have a stepdaughter. Well, he has a stepdaughter, which is her daughter. The way that he is, he doesn't do anything around that stepdaughter. So the stepdaughter thinks he's the king, you know. Think he's her everything. But the minute that little girl is not around, he's very abusive. I tell you, when this movie come out, just know that from the beginning to the end, you're going to be on the edge of your seat. excuse me. Let's see. It's not even going to make you want to go to the concession stand. You're not even going to want to go to the bathroom because you're going to feel that you're going to miss something. Like I said, the greatest film I ever done.
Wow.
Jeffrey got something for you. That's all I got to say.
Oh, I know that. I saw the previews and I'm just, wow, because when I watched them a few times, and every time I watch him, I still have that
chill.
I don't know. Yeah, you know, cause, and then when the wife says, well, how could you do this? And you say, because that's just who I am. That's who I am. I say, oh, my God. But I know that is going to be a very good movie. So what's going to happen once the premiere of it at this theater? What's going to happen after that?
It's going to probably premiere twice because of the outcome of the ticket sales. It sold out real, real fast.
Right.
They're going to probably do one more premiere maybe at the Magic Johnson Theater in the Boulevard in Landover. Then after that, it's going to go to different festivals, film festivals and stuff like that. And then after that, it'll start going into your stores, to your Best Buys, to your Amazon.coms and stuff like that. It'll be on DVD then.
Okay. Now, how many of your films that you've already done are on DVD?
I want to say about 7 out of those 22. Well, they're all on DVD, but I think 7 are publicly on DVD. You know,
okay,
where you can go and get those. Some of them are at Amazon, stuff like that. And plus, I actually have copies of them And then you have a few that's still in post production. Some of them haven't been released yet.
Right. Okay. Now we're going to get to the theater part. The 70s bus. We already spoke about what that was about. You played three characters in that.
Yeah.
And Southside. What was that about?
Okay. Well, let me tell you about the 70 bus just a little bit to give you an idea of what the 70 bus is. The 70 bus is actually the 70 bus that runs up and down Georgia Avenue.
Oh, okay. So is that the Silver Spring bus?
Oh, my goodness. It goes from downtown to up to Silver Spring. And one thing, reason why they wanted to do something on the 70 bus, you'd have to ride the 70 bus to know why they did this. The 70 bus is a crazy bus. You got all kinds of things happening on the 70 bus that I didn't even know. And I've been in Washington for 45 years.
I think a lady wrote a book about the 70 bus.
Yeah, they got got the Howard University kids.
Mm-hmm.
You got drug dealers. You got homeless people that just get on the bus and ride it to the end of the line, turn around, come back down on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
And all sorts of things happen on the 70 bus that I never even knew until I started asking questions to the director. I said, do this stuff really happen on the 70 bus? And he said, yeah, that's how I got my story. He actually wrote it.
So y'all did the play on a bus or?
We did the play. Well, we did it on stage. We put chairs on the stage, set up like a bus, two on each side, about, 12 rows, and a bus driver up front in one chair, and we had passengers on there. And the guy wrote it real, real good. And it was just so much stuff going on the 70 bus. It is a life story on there.
Right. I remember was at an event, and a lady wrote a book about the 70 bus. And she was saying how, people all, just as you described, all kind of people get on this bus. And she, generally would ride that bus. So she just was inclined to write a story about it.
Mm-hmm.
I know about the 70 bus.
Yeah, boy.
Wow.
Southside. You asked me about Southside, right?
Yeah, Southside.
Southside, directed by the same person that did the 70 bus. Southside is basically about living in Southeast.
Mm-hmm.
Now, mind you, now the guy that wrote this is actually white. And I actually asked him. It's just like the guy from The Wire that wrote The Wire. He's white.
Right,
David Simon. And I said to John, how did you get all this info and on what goes on in Southeast? You never lived in Southeast. And he said that he actually rode through Southeast and wrote what he saw. I was like, wow.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just basically about living in Southeast. I played a couple of characters in there.
Right, a corner man, Reverend Faithful, and Coach.
Oh, Reverend Faithful. Now, Reverend Faithful is a guy. You know how you got the pastors that like to preach outside and get your attention? He might get a microphone and a little speaker and sit it down right there and want everybody to gather around?
Yeah.
That's Reverend Faithful. Corner man. The corner man, and it was so funny because I had to be these different folks. But the corner man was the thug, on the corner that done been through some things and know it all. So when the youngins come up, y'all youngins don't know what's happening. Yeah, I've been out here for a long time. Let me tell y'all something. Man, go to school, get yourself together, that type of guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's the corner man. Kojo was he was a guy that was living with his grandmother, and he wanted to be out there selling drugs to make ends meet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. But Kojo wind up running into the corner man, and the corner man mm-hmm. would always tell him, "Man, look, I know what you're doing. It's better. It's more. It's better ways of getting money than to be doing what you're doing. I used to do what you did, and this is what happened to me. You know that type of stuff. You know, so
mm-hmm.
that's what those characters was about with Southside.
Wow. Okay, he's not mine, she's not mine. I saw you in that play.
Dynamite
play.
Was
really, yes, it was. It was definitely
Dynamite.
A good play.
Dynamite.
Really good play.
Yeah, yeah. Written and directed
and
by.
And it was,
oh, yeah.
Was,
oh, yeah.
It was really something, too.
Right. Written and directed by a guy by the name of Ray Quick, Promise Productions.
Yeah.
And we actually performed that play. Several times. We did it 3 times in New York City. They kept
mm-hmm.
calling back. We did it twice in Brooklyn and once in Harlem. And
mm-hmm.
In several places around here. It's been at the Lincoln Theater. It's been at the Annabelle Ferguson Theater over in Suitland.
Mm-hmm.
And it's also been at the theater in Beltsville at High Point High School. And
wow.
I really had a time with that because I had to actually play a pastor. And
right.
when I tell you I had to play a pastor, this one is a little different from the pastors that I have done. This one was I had to actually preach a sermon at a funeral.
Right.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to actually preach the whole sermon and get down into it. And each and every time I get a lot of good feedback off that role.
Mm-hmm.
And
it was definitely done well.
Oh, yeah. Glad you enjoyed it. It's supposed to come back sometime in September or October. I will let you know. He called me and told me he wanted to do it one more time. I was like, okay. I'll tell you.
Wow. Okay, and here's a Tupac tale.
A Tupac tale. I played, I believe, a police guard or something, correction officer or something
mm-hmm.
in there. And it was a stage play about Tupac Shakur when Tupac got locked up for when he was accused of rape. And
mm-hmm.
I think I played Officer Chavis or something.
Yeah,
and
Officer Chavis.
Yeah, Officer Chavis, and what I did was I was the guard that was telling him that I don't care nothing about you being a rap star or an actor. I don't care nothing about you. I'm not going to make it easy for you up in here. So I would always, you know, pick with him. I even did unlawful things to him, you know, when nobody wasn't looking, smack him around and, you know, throw water on him and stuff like that. So I was the main correctional officer up in there, but the story was about Tupac Shakur and his arrest.
Hmm. So the things that you did to him, was that things that actually happened to him?
Yeah, yeah. The guard, they wasn't treating Tupac right in jail. They wasn't treating him right. Yeah, they wasn't treating him right.
Wow. Okay, now television. She was on Damages on FX.
Yes, indeed, with a very, very great actress, Glenn Close. You remember Glenn Close when she first got known, when she played Fatal Attraction?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She was the mistress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. And then she has her own show called Damages. And I had the honor to do a little small role with her on there.
Mm-hmm.
It was a big role. It's considered a small role, but it was a big role to me because to actually have the honor to be in something with Glenn Close, that's big. That's
right.
Big.
Wow. So how did you get that part?
Through my talent agency that I'm with. I'm AFTRA. You know, which is American Federation Television. That's the union that I'm in. So
mm-hmm.
they send out casting calls and stuff like that that may fit the description of what a production is looking for. And then I'll just apply for it and, you know, you get your callbacks and get your tail on up here to New York.
Oh, okay. Now with The Wire.
The Wire. Like I say, I landed that role when I was in the 70 bus play and the guy called down. It was a good experience with The Wire, playing a drug dealer, being next to some of the seasoned actors and stuff like that. I learned from a lot of them. You know, it just was an honor to do that. I just wish that I could have been on there for a couple of seasons or had a main role, because I know that I could have played a main role real good up in there. It's just that I didn't, by me just stepping into the business, I didn't know about it soon enough. But had I already been in the acting business, I would have knew about it soon and then probably could have landed a big role. But actually, you had some very seasoned actors up in The Wire.
Right.
Yeah.
It definitely was. Okay, and White Collar, you played a prisoner.
White Collar, that comes on the USA Channel. That comes on every Wednesday night. I had the honor to play a prisoner up there. Wasn't real big, just played a prisoner, but I just wanted to be on that show and have that on my resume. That part was very small, but now I land nothing but big parts now. And I'm just so blessed that people see me and look at my acting and they appreciate it and feel that I should fit this role and fit that role, and they are now leading roles. So I'm loving it.
What would you tell somebody who wanted to get into the acting
Oh, man, if that's your dream, follow it. Because, you know, I've heard people say, well, wow, I wanted to act, man, but that was a long time ago. I'm too old. No, you're not. Let me tell you, in the acting business, it starts from an infant all the way up to 100 years old. Because haven't you seen a movie where it was a little baby in there?
Oh, yeah, no doubt.
Haven't you seen movies with folks that's elderly? Haven't you seen movies with cripples, handicapped people? It doesn't matter. It's never too late. You know, I think before you start acting in any film, I think you need to do stage plays first, because the majority, I'll say 90% of the actors today started on stage. And right now, you'll see like a main stage play that comes here, you always see an actor that you've seen in a film on that stage, don't you? Because they come back to try to sharpen up their acting skills. Your stage play sharpens up your acting skills because it's like a zero tolerance. And when I say zero tolerance, meaning that you have no room for mistakes. Once you're on that stage, you read that script, there's nobody up there to say, all right, hold up, cut. There's no cut because all y'all are sitting out there in the audience looking at you. So if you forget a line on stage, you better make up a line. Whereas if you go on a film, you miss a line, they say cut.
Right.
It kind of like sharpens up your skills.
What do you prefer, the stage or the screen or both?
The screen.
Yeah.
The screen. And I'll tell you why I say that. Now, I like both, but what I prefer is the screen. And I'm going to tell you why. Because I can do 4 to 5 movies at one time versus doing one stage play. One stage play takes up so much of your time. So much of your time. If I'm doing a movie, if I'm doing 2-3 movies, let's just say I had to be on a set for one movie tomorrow, another set on Sunday, another set on Wednesday. You know what I'm saying? I go in tomorrow, do my part, get off the set, go to the next one. All these are 3 different movies. Do my part, get off the set. If I'm doing a stage play, There is none of that. You on it, you stuck on it.
Okay. Have you ever thought about directing any movies or stage plays?
You know, some in the movie Right to Remain Silent. In this movie, I'm going to have some directing credit for the first time. And I had a ball helping direct, you know, because the director asked me, well, what do you think about this? And I said, well, hold up. I think you need to do this. You need to do that. So that right there earned me director's credit. So, and it was a lot of fun because you're helping something to come true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you read the script and you look at it, and when you're on the set and you look and you say, well, ho, it would probably be better, you know, if you do it this way. And one
mm-hmm.
thing about the Right to Remain Silent Delicious is that we are our own stunt people. We didn't call in no stunts or nothing for this movie.
Wow.
You know, we did our own stunts. I'm talking blood, sweat, and tears on this movie.
Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
I really cannot wait until the 24th. You know, because I know it's going to be, I know definitely that it's going to be a good movie because the previews speak for themselves. You know, when you go see previews, sometimes they're good, sometimes they're not. But these previews definitely had me on the edge, and I'm definitely going to be there checking this movie out.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. So, go on.
Do you think that being where you were located at aided in the progression of your acting, as opposed to being, I guess, in one of the, L.A. or New York, where they tend to be, you know, the bigger places people tend to draw from?
Yeah, you know, actually, when I first got into this, I always said, well, man, I wish I lived in L.A. because it seemed like those folks get first dibs on everything because they
mm-hmm.
live right there, you know. But now things are starting to change a little bit, you know. Some folks are getting a little tired of Hollywood, so they're bringing a lot of stuff on the East Coast now, like over here in ATL. But what I can say to you is that being from Washington, D.C., and landing the roles that I got to play, I'm thankful to be from Washington, D.C., because in Washington, D.C., you get a chance to see almost everything versus
mm-hmm.
being someone who grew up in Kansas. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And, yeah, in Washington, D.C., you know, it's just it's a potluck of everything. And growing up here, I got a chance to see it all. So when these roles come up, I mean, this is where we live.
Yep.
Mm.
So if you're called to go to Hollywood, are you just gonna go and stay out there, or are you gonna stay on the East Coast?
I would be out there for what I'm out there for, but making it big and moving out there, nah. I just have to fly out there to do my part.
Right.
I just have to fly. I don't want to live out there. I wouldn't want to live out
right.
there. If I had to stay for a while out there or something, then I'd have to probably get me a little condo or something just to go in when I'm out there. But as far
mm-hmm.
as home, I'd have to be on the East Coast somewhere. And
right.
just from my travels and some of the places I filmed, you know, Miami, ATL, stuff like that, I think I like ATL.
Okay. Wow. Well, it's been a pleasure, absolute pleasure having you on tonight. And I'd like to have you come back again because I know you're going to be doing something great again, and especially when I come from the premiere. I'm definitely going to be talking about that.
It's so interesting.
Oh, my goodness. You go to my page Well, if you can go to his page, he has the trailer up. Or you can tell her where they can, you know, put it out there, Antoine, where they can see the trailer.
Yeah, you can go to righttoremainsilent.com, and it would definitely you'll definitely see the trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my sister lives not far from Baltimore. She's actually in Owens Mills, and I'm gonna make sure I tell them about it so that they can check it out. Then I'll get mad because I'm the one who told them now.
That's a movie that you definitely don't want to miss. I'm telling you, it's a good movie. You know, when you got to play a part, a role that's not in your character, but you make it come to life.
Right, and that's what I'm so anxious to see, because you know, just you know, seeing you know stage plays and to go from what you went through in those stage plays and then to be a serial rapist, and you know, then how the whole movie is. I just can't wait for that.
Now, let me ask one more question. Is that particular movie, is it going to open, is it going to be like, is it regional? Is it just, you know, in that location?
Right now, it's just going to be in this location until further notice. And then it may just take off, you know.
Okay.
Depending on how I do, you know.
Okie dokie.
Yeah, but you can go to righttoremainsilentmovie.com.
Okay.
Yeah, righttoremainsilentmovie.com. And you can actually see that trailer. Or you can actually just pull up my name on YouTube, Antoine T. Money, and it'll show you several movies that I'm in, but also Right to Remain Silent trailer is on there too. So.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, thanks again, Antoine, for coming on. And like I said, I'm going to have you back on again if you come back. And I wish you nothing but the best in any endeavor that you are striving to do. And I will see you at the premiere. And you have a beautiful evening. Okay?
Most definitely. I appreciate it. And I would love to come back. I would love to come back.
Oh, no doubt. I'm definitely going to have you back because we're going to have to talk about the movie. To let everybody know. So with that being said, I'm going to, you know, sign off. And thanks again. Thank you, Rhea, for being my co-host tonight. And everybody else who came in the chat room, the flies on the wall. Everybody have a beautiful weekend. And with that being said, this new board is screwed up again.
Yeah, okay.
I'm really messed up about this because I can't play my closing song. I have to play something else because the thing is not working on here. I don't know what's going on, but whatever. I'll just play something. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night, and have a wonderful weekend.
You too, honey.
All right, you too.
All right, Anton. Bye-bye.
Okay.
Love and happiness. Yeah. Something that can make you do wrong, make you do right. Yeah. Love. Love and a Someone's on the phone, 3 o'clock in the morning, yeah, talking about how she can make it right, yeah, yeah. Happiness is when you really feel good about somebody. There's nothing wrong being in love with someone, yeah. Oh, baby, love and happiness. Love and happiness. Oh, talking.